By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurullah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madi Channel, welcome to our early morning program, Rise and Shine. And as you know, that before we begin the day, we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And the blessing that we have today is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam has said that whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times, Allah azza wa jalla writes between both of his eyes that he's free from hypocrisy and the hellfire, and he will keep him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we give you these blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak because with the intention that one, you become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, you become aware of the blessings. And thirdly, you remember these blessings so that you can pass them on to others, so that hopefully others can become habitual as well. And just think, if you can pass on these blessings to others, and as a result of you passing them on to others, other people start reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you, inshaAllah azza wa jal, will also get the reward. And I hopefully will get the reward as well by giving you the blessing and you passing it on to others as well. Viewers of the channel, as you know, you're watching Arise and Shine, and the very first package that we have on this program is probably the best package that you can possibly have on any program. It's the best package, and it's a thing that we should be doing every single day, and that's listening or reading to some verses of the Holy Quran. But now we're going to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. So let's listen to the first package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
قل لا يعلم من في السماوات والأرض الغيب إلا الله
تم فرماؤ خود غیب نہیں جانتے جو کوئی آسمانوں اور زمین میں ہیں مگر اللہ
وما يشعرون ايان يبعثون
اور انہیں خبر نہیں کہ کب اٹھائے جائیں گے
بل ادارك علمهم في الاخرة بل هم في شك منها
کیا ان کے علم کا سلسلہ آخرت کے جاننے تک پہنچ گیا کوئی نہیں وہ اس کی طرف سے شک میں ہیں
بل هم منها عمون
بلکہ وہ اس سے اندھے ہیں
وقال الذين كفروا اذا كنا ترابا وآباؤنا ائنا لمخرجون
اور کافر بولے کیا جب ہم اور ہمارے باپ دادا مٹی ہو جائیں گے کیا ہم پھر نکالے جائیں گے
لَقَدْ وَعِدْنَا هَذَا نَحْنُ وَآبَاؤُنَا مِن قَبْلُ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ
بے شک اس کا وعدہ دیا گیا ہم کو اور ہم سے پہلے ہمارے باپ داداؤں کو یہ تو نہیں مگر اگلوں کی کہانیاں
قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ
تم فرماؤ زمین میں چل کر دیکھو کیسا ہوا انجام مجرموں کا
وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُنْ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِّمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ
اور تم ان پر غم نہ کھاؤ اور ان کے مکر سے دل تنگ نہ ہو
وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
اور کہتے ہیں کب آئے گا یہ وعدہ اگر تم سچے ہو
قُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ رَدِفَ لَكُمْ بَعْضُ الَّذِي تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ
تم فرماؤ قریب ہے کہ تمہارے پیچھے آ لگی ہو بعض وہ چیز جس کی تم جلدی مچا رہے ہو۔
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ،
اور بے شک تیرا رب فضل والا ہے آدمیوں پر لیکن اکثر آدمی حق نہیں مانتے۔
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُكِنُّ صُدُورُهُمْ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ،
اور بے شک تمہارا رب جانتا ہے جو ان کے سینوں میں چھپی ہے اور جو وہ ظاہر کرتے ہیں۔
وَمَا مِنْ غَائِبَةٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ،
اور جتنے غائب ہیں آسمان اور زمین کے سب ایک بتانے والی کتاب میں ہیں۔
ان هذا القرآن يقص على بني اسرائيل اكثر الذي هم فيه يختلفون،
بے شک یہ قرآن ذکر فرماتا ہے بنی اسرائیل سے اکثر وہ باتیں جس میں وہ اختلاف کرتے ہیں۔
وَإِنَّهُ لَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِّلْمُؤْمِنِينَ،
اور بے شک وہ ہدایت اور رحمت ہے مسلمانوں کے لیے۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ، the best way to start the day without a doubt, if only we can all make a habit of doing this, of listening to, or better still reading, some verses of the Holy Quran with the translation and the commentary. I mean, listen, the founder of Dawah Islami in his Pious Deeds booklet, he advises us all that on a daily basis, just 3 verses of the Holy Quran with translation and commentary. And how long is that going to take? If only we can make a habit of that. And I think one of the reasons that we don't fulfill this sort of a pious deed, that we don't read the Quran on a daily basis, we don't read our Zaif on a daily basis, we don't read our Salah even, our Fard Salah on a daily basis. The reason why maybe some of us don't pay our Zakat, maybe some of us think that, you know, we don't perform our Hajj that is Fard upon us. And the reason for this, one of the reasons for this, is that we think that we'll do it later. We'll read the Quran later on in life. You know, I've got plenty of time now. I've got time at the moment. I'm young, I'm energetic, I'm strong. I need to use this energy on developing my business. I need to use this energy to earn as much money as possible. When I get older and when I get weaker, when I can't do any of them things, then I'll be able to sit down and read the Quran. And, you know, I need to make that money now. I can't go on Hajj now because, you know, I've got that kitchen to do, I've got this to do, I've got all these things to do, and I'll do it later, I'll do it later. And this is a problem that as Muslims we face, that we have these high hopes, long hopes, that we're going to live forever. And we think that we're going to live forever. We think that, you know, nobody thinks about the fact that the angel of death can come to us right now. And that is a reality of life, that the angel of death can come to us. And if you go to the graveyard, yes, you'll see the 80-year-olds, the 70-year-olds, the 90-year-olds, but at the same time, you see the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds as well. And we all know people. I think fair to say that probably every single person that's watching this channel right now will know of people that have passed away in their 20s, maybe even in their teens as well, maybe even younger as well. People that our childhood friends that, you know, are no longer with us. And in youth, they went away. In the last couple of years, we've had the pandemic around the world and we've lost a lot of loved ones. But these pandemics, these incidents, these illnesses, these accidents, they're all, you know, a reason that, you know, telling us that life is short. And so what happens as Muslims, we're making these long, high hopes that we're going to live forever. And as a result of that, we don't perform the good deeds that we should be performing. And namely, like we're talking about now, the fact that we are reading the Quran on a daily basis. This is something that we should do. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit about this, about the problem we face in having high hopes, that we have this mindset. We don't admit it. Nobody will actually say it, that they're going to live forever, because they know that that's not true. But everybody thinks that, you know what, and they plan their life. You know, I'm in my 20s now, I'm going to do this. I'm in the 30s, then I'm going to do that. I'm going to 40s, then I'm going to 50s. And then when I get to my 70s, yeah, what happens is we first of all say, oh, when I get to my 50s, I'm going to slow down. Then when you get closer to, when I get to my 60s, and then when you get to 60, and so what happens is we never reach that time because we always think we're going to live so much longer. So a person that's, you know, in the same way that you see people when they're young in the teens and the 19, 20, oh, I'm going to retire when I'm 30. And then when you get the closer, I'm going to retire when I'm 40. I'm going to retire when I'm 50. In the same way that what happens is when it comes to performing good deeds, when it becomes to spending our time on preparing for the hereafter, we always think we've got time. We always think we've got plenty of time to do this. We've got many, many years ahead of us. You know, I've got nothing to worry about. I'm only young. You know, I'm only 25. I'm only 35. I'm only 40. I'm only 55. And it gets on. And so as you get older, you still think, you know, you still think. And this is something that we need to reflect on, that, you know, there needs to be a balance in life. That balance needs to be such that, yes, we're living in this dunya, but also at the same time, whilst living in this dunya and getting through this dunya, yeah, this is all we need to do. We need to just get through it, really. We don't have to have a bank balance in this dunya. We don't have to have all the things in this materialistic world. But what we do need to have is we need to have something in that, call it the hereafter bank, the bank over there that will benefit us for infinitum, effectively. This dunya, all right, let's say it's 70 years, 80 years, 90 years long. But how long is eternity? How long is the afterlife? It is for eternity, it's forever. And so, you know, you need to get that balance in life. And I think that's where a lot of us are failing. And it's something that we need to reflect on and think about. And inshallah, we're going to go to the kalam of the day now. Then after the kalam of the day, we'll come back and we'll give you a parable of a king of Basra, of how he changed his mindset. Imagine a king, the life that he was living, and how he changed his mindset. He was, I would say, amongst the fortunate ones. Let's go to the kalam of the day, and then inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue with this topic of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, ya Habiballah, ya Rasulallah. وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے ٹکڑوں کو جوڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے جو ولی کی عصر سزا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی جو ولی کی عصر قضا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی چھپے آفتاب کو موڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے شکروں کو جوڑ دے وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ ملائکہ وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دیں, وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ پیروں سے کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں, وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ کہ وَمَارَ مَيْتَ كَرَيْ خدا, وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ, وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ کہ وَمَارَ مَيْتَ كَرَيْ خدا, کہ وَمَارَ مَيْتَ كَرَيْ خدا, وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں, وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ پیروں سے کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں, لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی, لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی, کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی, لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی, کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی, وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں, وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ پیروں سے کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. And you know the lovers of the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم, anything that is attributed to, connected to, associated with the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم, the lovers love. And the amazing thing, as I've said before, about the love of the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم, that unlike loving any other individual, when you love an individual, and if someone else loves that individual, then you become jealous of that individual. But in the case of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when someone loves the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you also love the lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the amazing thing, that we need to develop that love inside us. Views on the channel, we're talking about having high hopes, having long, ambitious hopes, and thinking that we're going to live forever, and the problems that we can have. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't plan. Yes, as human beings, we all plan. We make plans, short-term plans, and we make mid-term plans, and we make some long-term plans as well. But we shouldn't live our life totally on that long-term plan, because that long-term plan may never happen. And there are times, there are many, many instances where I've heard of people that have, you know, in this country here in the West, that they've worked hard day and night. They've saved up as much money as possible. They sent money back to their home country, the country that they came from. They bought a plot of land there, then they saved up money to build a house there. They literally built a palace there. And then when the time comes to go over there, to actually go for the actual opening of the house, the keys are going to be given to them, then the angel of death gets to them first. And so they never actually get the opportunity to sleep in that huge house that they have made. So having high hopes is something that we need to be wary of. It is stated on page 348 of the 413-page book named Ayun al-Aqayat that the king of Basra, that he became pious, but then he again got attracted to the kingdom and governance and decided to live the rest of his life with pleasure and luxury. And he got used to living in that, and he got all splendid, a palace constructed with high quality carpets, decorated with all types of furniture and fittings. And he specified one room for guests, which contained nice beds and everything. All sorts and kinds of food were selected. And one day he called the people, and the people came, and they greatly praised the king, and he himself was impressed with the glory. And this continued for some time. And the king, he was lost in this colorful life of this world. His grand palace had all types of musical instruments and entertainment. And he was always engrossed in worldly pleasures. And these activities made him suffer the destructive spiritual illness of high hopes. One day, he called all his ministers, advisors, and all his close relatives, and he said to them that you have been seeing my joy in this beautiful palace that I have. And look how peaceful I am here. And he says, I want to get palaces constructed like this for all of my sons. Yeah, I want to make, for every one of my sons, I want to create a separate palace. So he says, stay here for a few days, enjoy as much as you want, and then give me good pieces of advice for constructing other palaces so that I will be able to get the best palaces constructed for my sons. The people started living there. And one day, all the people, including the king, got busy and having fun with the entertainment that was being supplied there, when suddenly a voice from the unseen was heard. O the one forgetting death, constructing buildings, give up your high hopes because death has been recorded. Death has been recorded for the people, whether they laugh or make others laugh. And it is ready for those who have very high hopes. Do not construct houses in which you do not have to live in, and do worship and spiritual exercises so that your sins can be forgiven. When he heard this voice, the king, obviously it startled him. And he said to all the people that were there, that, have you heard? Did you hear what I heard? And all of them answered in one voice that, yes, we have heard it. The king said, are you feeling what I am feeling? And they asked him, what are you feeling? And the king said that, I am feeling something like a burden on my heart. I think it is the message of death. People said, there is nothing, ignore it, don't worry. You're going to have a long life, don't be worried. And this message from the unseen that he got, it terminated the high hopes from the heart of the king. He started despising all of the plans of luxury and pleasure, and he was overwhelmed with the thought of the hereafter. And he gave up all his desires. With the intention of giving up sins, he humbly said to Allah, O Allah, making you and all the people present here as a witness, I turn towards you and I feel ashamed and repent of all my sins and injustice. O my Creator, if you want me to live for some more in this world, then help me to follow the path of eternal obedience. And if you want to call me by giving me death, then have mercy on me and forgive my sins out of your mercy. The king, he remained busy pleading, and he kept increasing these du'as, these prayers. And he kept on saying, by Allah death, by Allah death. And while saying this, he passed away. And after saying this, the Islamic jurists at the time, they used to say that after repenting, the king passed away. Views on the channel, you can see from this that how high hopes, how this dunya, this luxuries of this world, these houses, these cars, this money, this wealth. I mean, that might be a king, and the king, you can say, yes, he has a different level of luxury than me and you, but still, even in our, well, I'm not going to say limited, I'm saying that, alhamdulillah, we've got a lot of luxuries in this world. With the luxuries that we have been given in this world by Allah, then again, we become blinded in it. We've got a car, we want a better car. We've got a house, we want a better house. We want a sofa, we want a better sofa. We've got a kitchen, we want a better kitchen. And we want better and better and better and more and more and more. And we've become blinded and we keep on planning that, you know, all right, I've got this house now. At what point am I going to extend the kitchen? At what point am I going to do this? At what point? And we're planning this. And we have these 10, 20, 30, 40 year plans of where we're going to live. And we have these high hopes inside us. And what happens is, because we have these high hopes inside us, we think that we're going to live forever. And yet we know that that's not true. But what happens is because of that, you become lazy in a sense that you're not afraid now of committing sins. Because you think, later. Yeah, I'll sort it out later. Meaning, I'll repent later. I'll repent later. I'll repent later. And so many people, you hear them say, come on, you know, let's do this. Well, we'll repent it later. How is that possible? Who can give you the guarantee that you'll be able to repent later? Who can that is watching this program now can give me a certificate and say that, brother, you will be alive after this program? Nobody can guarantee that. Nobody can guarantee how long I will live. And so having these high hopes of thinking that we're going to live forever, one, it gets us engrossed in the mirror. We start planning for things. And I'm not going to say it's haram to have a nice house, a nice car. I'm not saying it's haram. But what that, them high hopes, them plans, if it is a result of them high hopes, them plans that we make for the long-term future, as a result of them, if it starts damaging our hereafter, then it's no good for us. If it's a result of them that we start committing sins, then it's no good for us. But if as a result of them, it enables us to prepare for the hereafter more. If it enables, for example, if you want to get a good job, you want to get a successful business, and then as your business starts getting better, you're giving more money in the way of Allah, you're taking more time out to travel in the way of Allah, you're building a masjid, madrasa, for the sake of your deceased ones, for the sake of yourself, then yes, that is a means to a cause. But if, as a result of that, that you start forgetting your purpose in life, that you start becoming negligent in committing sins, that you don't think that I've got nothing to worry about. You know, you see these bodybuilders and all these people, they've got nothing to worry about. You see these people that are dealing drugs. You know, they don't think that the angel of death is ever going to catch them. They don't think they're ever going to get caught. They think they can get away with it. They're not afraid of the police catching them, let alone the angel of death catching them. So this mindset that gets developed, and as a result of that, we start committing more and more sins. And what happens is at the initial stages, initially we say that, okay, you know what, we'll repent later. Afterwards, we'll repent. When I get a bit older, I'll start spending my time in the masjid. Because what happens, we look around us, and we see that in the masjids, in the mosques, who are the people that are there most of the time? It's the elders. You know what? When I get to his age, then I'll start going. Yeah, look at him. He's, you know, he probably chilled all his life and now he's in the masjid. You know, when I get to his age, I'm going to chill. You know, I'll spend my time in the masjid. Who can guarantee that that will happen? And so, as human beings, we need to be wary of the fact that we cannot just continuously commit sins thinking that, you know what, later I'll sort it out. I'll clean my slate later on. We cannot, you know, keep on delaying things and say, you know what, later I'll do it. For example, the Hajj, a lot of people say that, you know, or I'll do my Hajj later in life. I think my father, I'm trying to work it out now, my father was, maybe he was 60. He was 60 when Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him with the opportunity to perform the Hajj. And I remember when he came back and I met him at the airport, and after congratulating him, kissing his hands, the first thing my father said to me was, better when you go on Hajj as soon as possible. Meaning go on Hajj whilst you are young, whilst you have that strength in your body to perform that ibadah, that worship. Go on Hajj then, that's the time to do it. He said, you know, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, I fulfill the rites of the Hajj, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah accept my Hajj. But, you know, when you go when you're young and you have that strength inside you, then you can do so much more. And it's true that if you want to do any ibadah, it's in your youth, isn't it? When you get older and you get weaker and you almost can't get off the bed, yeah, when you can't get off the bed and you sat there and all you can do is sit up and yeah, you know, spend that time in reading the Quran. Yes, reading the Quran is a good thing, but if you could only have done it, you know, when you could do other things, you know, when you're sitting on a bed and there's nothing else to do but read the Quran or watch TV and you choose this over that, then obviously this is better. But when you're younger and you've got so many alternatives, so many options, so many things that you could do instead of, and yet you still turn to the Quran, Allahu Akbar. You still turn to your Rabb, Allahu Akbar. You still travel in the way of Allah, Allahu Akbar. When you've got an opportunity to go and play football, to go and play cricket, to go sightseeing, when you've got the opportunity to do all these things, and yet you still travel in the way of Allah, That is the time of your life where you need to spend it in worshipping Allah, in doing the work of the deen. That's the time. And what happens is, as you get older, that strength is no longer there. You don't have the same strength that you have. You cannot work as much as you could when you were younger. And because you couldn't work as much when you were younger, you also have this same mindset when it comes to the dunya. You think to yourself, you know what, when I get older, I can't work as hard. I won't be able to work overtime then. I won't be able to work 7 days a week then. I won't be able to do it. So let's do it now. So why is it that when it comes to the dunya, when it comes to making money, you realize that I cannot work as hard when I get older, so let's work now. In the same way, when you get older, you can't worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in the same way that you can in your youth. So do that now as well. Have the right balance in your life. And this is where, as Muslims, we have these high hopes that we think that we're going to live forever. We think we've got nothing to worry about. And as a result of that, we fall into the trap. It's a trap of shaitan. A trap of shaitan making us think there's nothing to worry about. And you start committing those sins. You start committing those sins that can cause you to have a bad end. And what is a bad end? Dying without iman. And this is the plan of shaitan. Don't worry. You've got nothing to worry about. You're going to live forever. In the same way that the coaches and the ministers of the king said to him, why are you worried? Don't worry, you know, even though you heard that voice, even though you heard that voice of the unseen, don't worry, you're going to live forever, you're healthy, there's nothing wrong with you. You have nothing to worry about. But when the angel of death comes, it doesn't listen to these ministers, it doesn't listen to these courtiers, it doesn't listen to your family, it doesn't listen to your friends. You know, all your friends and your family, all these people may say, yes, you're going to have a long life, but the angel of death doesn't listen to them. Yes, they can do dua for you. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the first mischief of this ummah is stinginess and having high hopes. Stinginess and having high hopes. And regarding this hadith, Aqimul Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Nimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated, the first sin of a Muslim, which is the root of other sins, are the following two things. Stinginess is the root of bloodshed and mischief. High hopes are the root of heedlessness and sins. A person thinks about it even in his old age that he still has plenty of time. That's why he will perform good deeds in the future, and in this state he dies. That even in old age, he doesn't spend that way. He wants to make as much money as possible. Even in old age, yeah, he thinks he's going to live forever. So whilst you're in that youth, that young age, you think, you know what? You know, something might come to you and you might think, you know what, I'm wrong. I need to sort myself out. But I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And then what happens is, as you get older, you become more and more negligent. Well, I'm okay, Anna. Nothing's happened to me, you know. They say that, you know, Allah's punishment will come on people. Nothing's come on me. I'm okay. And you become more and more and more negligent. And you delay and delay and delay and delay it. And this delay, you know, by this having this delay in our mind. I remember my father, I keep on remembering the words of my father. He said to me that when people came to this country initially, he remembers in the early 60s that people started to come, maybe even before that. And he said at that time, people that come from Pakistan, they had this high hope, if you want to call it, that they would make 1 lakh rupees, 100,000 rupees, and then they would go back home. So we'll make 100,000 rupees here, and then we'll go back home, back to their family. And at that time, that 100,000 was a huge amount of money. I remember my father saying that, you know, for 100 rupees, you can have a decent plot of land at that time. So it's a huge amount of money. And he said to me, he said to me many, many years later, you know, that, you know, all those people that had this high hope that they would make 100,000 rupees and go back home, he said only one person he remembers went back home. All the rest, a bit more, earn a bit more, earn a bit more, earn a bit more, let's make a bit more, let's make a bit more, let's make a bit more. And this making a bit more, it never finished. I remember reading a story once about a king. He had 4 sons, and he decided to distribute his kingdom to his 4 sons, and he had a huge kingdom. And one day he called upon his sons, and he said, tomorrow at sunrise, bring me your best horses and meet me at a certain place. So the next day at sunrise, the 4 sons come, and the father says to him that, I want to distribute my kingdom to you. And he pointed to his 4 sons and said, you set off in that direction, you set off in that direction, you set off in that, and you said, north, east, south, west. He said, I want you to set out in that direction, and however far you get, I will give that kingdom to you. I will give that land to you by sunset. But there's a condition. You have to be back here by sunset. Go as far as you want, get here by sunset, and whatever distance you have traveled between now and then and got back by sunset is yours. So they're all waiting for the sun to rise. And as soon as the sun rises, the horses set off in all 4 directions. The dust from the hooves of the horses were coming up. Salatul Zuhur comes. the king knows nobody will be back this early. Asr comes. Again, he knows nobody will be back this early. The time for Maghrib approaches. The king comes out and starts looking in the distance to see which of his sons will come back first. And as the time for Maghrib approaches, he's looking north, south, east, and west. And as the sun sets, none of his sons had come back because they all wanted a bit more, a bit more, a bit more. And they all thought that we can get back. So I think that parable is very good because it makes us realize that you run after so much, you're trying to achieve so much, but the end result is nothing. The end result, what you have in your hand, is nothing. Them four sons, they struggled, they strived, they rode the horse as fast as they could. At the end of the day, they had nothing in their hands. And that is a parable for us, that in this world, in this dunya, that we run around. But at the end, what do we have in the end? What are you going to take in that dark and lonely grave? That is your end. What are you going to take with you? At the end, are we going to be like them four sons that were going to run around in this dunya day and night? Them horsemen, they were probably from sunrise to sunset, non-stop on the horse. They probably didn't stop for water, lunch, or anything. And in the end, nothing. So our lives need to be such that we need to make sure. You know, just think if one of them sons had got there and come back for Zohar, Asr, he would have had something. And the rest of his time, he would have been able to do something with it. But with us, what happens is we're like them four people, them four sons, that we just want more and more and more. It's never enough. I've got £1,000, I want £2,000. I've got a small house, I want a bigger house. I've got a terraced, I want a semi-detached. I've got a semi-detached, I want a detached. I've got a small car, I want a bigger car. I've got a bigger car, I want a newer car. A newer car, I want a new car. And it goes on and on and on and on, and it never stops. And this wanting more, these high hopes of having more, it blinds us into our true meaning in our life. And our true meaning in life is to prepare ourselves for the afterlife. And to do that, we need to please our Rabb. And to please our Rabb, we need to do the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to do. Stay away from these things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to stay away from. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi. You've heard all these things. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm not giving you a new formula. It's nothing, I didn't hear this. I didn't know this. Yes, you know it all. Everything I'm saying today, it's not as if it's something new for you. There's not a single person that's watching this program that knows that a time will come that the angel of death will come to us. There's not a single person that's watching this program that knows that the angel of death comes randomly. He doesn't come just to the 80-year-olds, just to the 90-year-olds. And I've given this example before, that when people line up to see the dead body after the funeral, and you see it happening, and look at the line. If you look at the line of the people that are queuing up to see, after the namaz of janazah, what happens? There's a tradition where people look at the body for the last time. And if you look at that line, it's a random line. It's not as if all the elders are at the front. That everybody says, let all the elders go first. No, that doesn't happen. It would be nice if we let our elders go first, out of respect, but it doesn't happen. And you look at the line, it's the elders, the youngers, the rich, the poor, they're all mixed in that line. And the oldest person could be at the bottom back of the line. When you look at that line is telling you, this body is telling you that I am here, tomorrow it could be you. That line is telling you the angel of death will come to you in a random fashion. It will not come to the poorest first, it will not come to the oldest first, it will not come to the richest first, it will not come to the weakest first. It's a random line. And that line is telling you. And so we need to be aware of that. And nobody denies that. So I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. I'm just telling you that we need to be... remove ourselves from this negligence. You know, we're aware of these things, but it's like, you know, people say that you have, in your brain, you have boxes. You have boxes about certain things. You know, I was an engineer, so I have an engineer box in my mind. You know, and so when I need to, I open that box. When I have other things in my mind, I open that box, because that's where that part of my life, my knowledge, is there in the boxes. All of us, we all have a box in our minds that says death. It's there. We all have that box there. It's just we try to push it to the back. We push it to the dark corners where we know it's there, but we don't want to go there. We don't want to go and open that box. We don't want to look at that box. We don't want to think about that box. We don't want to see what's in that box. We don't want to realize that we know that box is there. We all know it. But we try and forget about it. We try and forget about it. In the same way that when someone close to you passes away, when that person passes away, you remember death and you think, it's happened to him, it could happen to me. He's the same age as me. And you think all these things come through your mind. I remember recently a person passed away. He was a couple of years younger than me. He had cancer. And I remember going to the Namazi Janaza, and when I asked his age, it kind of hit me, and I thought, well, he's a similar age to me. And you know, that could have been me. But that feeling should be there all the time. It's not just because he's a similar age to me that it could be me. It could be, you know, it could be a 90-year-old, it could be me. It could be a 20-year-old, it could be me. It could be anything, it could be me. It can happen to any of us. And we know that. I'm not telling you anything that's new, but we try to forget about it. And this negligence of forgetting, of, you know, blinking off of what the reality is, causes us to commit sins, causes us to have these high hopes, causes us to have these long-term plans that are never going to be fulfilled. You know, we make plans for this dunya that we know we can't fulfill, but we still make these plans. Views on my channel, we're going to take a small break now. I think I've spoken a little bit longer than I should have done. Let's go to the reminder of the day, and inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue with this topic. Let's go to the reminder. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Wealth is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but only when we use it to obey Allah. Otherwise, there are many people in the dunya who have wealth to last 10 generations, but they don't use it in accordance to Sharia. They don't use it in acts that please Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They waste it. They spend it on haram. They are arrogant because of it. They fall into all sorts of trials and tribulations because of wealth. We know in a hadith that every ummah has a fitna, a trial, and the trial of this ummah is maal, is wealth. But the person who is given the ability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to utilize that wealth properly in the way of Allah, in righteous actions and causes, that person is praiseworthy. That person is worthy of envy. And he will not only receive the benefits of that in the dunya, but in the akhirah as well. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says, a pious person who had wealth and he spent wealth, on the day of judgment, that very wealth will testify to the iman, the taqwa, and the generosity of such a person. Subhanallah, this is what we want. We don't want to limit that wealth to worldly luxuries, fulfilling worldly desires. No, we want to gain the blessings of that wealth in the akhirah. And your wealth will testify for your iman, your taqwa, your generosity, if you used it properly in the dunya.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Today we're talking about the harms of having high hopes of all sorts of things, living forever, living for a long time. And how would you define high hopes? It is stated that wasting precious moments of your life by having high hopes for things which are very difficult to get is called high hope. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hijr part 14, and I'll give you the translation. Leave them to eat and enjoy, and let the hope may amuse them now, then they are about to know. Regarding this blessed verse, Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi rahmatullah ta'ala said that there is a warning here that it is not the glory of an honest person to have high hopes and become intoxicated with the pleasures of this world. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that high hopes makes one forget the hereafter, and following the desires prevents one from the truth. When you have these high hopes, you forget the hereafter. You forget, like I said earlier, you forget your purpose, your mission in life. And you also, you know, it says prevents one from the truth. You stop seeing the truth. You stop realizing what is the truth in life. And you start thinking that everything that you're doing is right. All the sins that you are committed are doing right. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, with regards to the disasters of high hopes, in one hadith he said, six things waste deeds. And this is something that we could have, this one hadith we could have a whole program on. Number one, finding fault with the creation. Finding fault with others. Number two, hardness of the heart. Number three, love for the dunya, love for the world. Number four, lack of modesty. Number five, high hope. And number six, excessive injustice. I'm going to read them again. Finding fault with the creation, hardness of the heart, love for the world, lack of modesty, and high hope and excessive injustice. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The wise is the one who weakens the desires of his nafs and he performs deeds for the afterlife. And powerless is the one who follows nafsani desires and has high hopes from Allah." Number three, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that amongst the things for which I have fear for my ummah are nafsani desires and high hope. These high hopes for the future. The high hope of living for a high time, a person, he starts missing his salah, he starts making delay in paying his zakat, he starts performing his fard hajj, he all keeps on delaying these things, that I'll make them up later. You know, if I miss my salah now, I'll make it up later. This in itself is scary, I'll make up my salah delay later. You know, you're missing your time for zuhr, is going, I'll read it later on, I'll read it with Isha tonight. I'll read it later on tonight, before I go to bed, I'll make it up. I'll read my asr with Isha tonight, I'll miss my maghrib, I'll read that with Isha tonight. Allahu Akbar. Just having that high hope, can you not realize that that potentially is a disaster in itself? What high hope do you have that you're going to live till Isha? The high hope, we know what, it's too hot at this time of the year. You know what, when, I'll make up my fast in December. Shorter days, I'll make it up then. Yeah. You know, it's haram for you to do that in the first place. You have to fast during the month of Ramadan. Unless you have a valid reason for missing your fast, you cannot miss your fast. But this, even having this mindset that I'll make them up later on, when the weather's cooler, when the days are shorter, or this, having that again is wrong. Delaying your hajj when it's farz upon you. Allahu Akbar. If hajj is farz upon you, you're physically and financially capable of performing the hajj and there's nobody stopping you. Yeah? There's nobody stopping you from performing the hajj that is farz upon you. And you die in that state. You fail to perform the hajj, even though you had the financial means to perform that hajj. You run the risk of losing your iman at that time. So, oh people, that hajj is farz upon you, please, for your own sake. Not for my sake. If you go on the hajj, I'm not going to get a commission. Yeah, I've not got any travel agencies, I've not got any hotels over there, I've not got any shares in any airplane tickets. But I'm begging you, I'm requesting you, that if hajj is farz upon you, perform the hajj as soon as possible. Make the intention now. Again, don't make the intention, oh, I'll see you, I'll think about it in 3 months' time. Oh yeah, the hajj season's gone, brother, why should I make the intention now? Make the intention now. Why make the intention later? Make the intention now, then next year, inshallah, azza wa jalla, perform the hajj. Make that intention now. And then start working towards this in the same way that when you make the intention of buying a house, you're going to buy the house in 5 years' time. You're going to do this in 2 years' time. You're going to do this in 8 years' time. You're going to get your daughters married in 3 years' time. You're going to do this in 5 years' time. But you make the intention now, so why can't you make the intention of performing the hajj now? So make the intention of performing the hajj now. Don't have these high hopes that I'm going to live forever. Your zakat, pay it now. Oh, I need the money. I'll think about it later. What do you mean later? Pay it now. You should have this. The burden should be upon you. I've not paid my hajj. I've not paid my zakat. I've not paid. And you should try to get this off you. You should read your salah in such a way that that salah could be your last salah. You should raise your hands to dua that this dua could be my last dua. Every good deed you perform, it should be with that intention that, Ya Allah, give me the opportunity to perform good deeds, but if this is my last good deed, then please accept it. That should be our mindset, viewers of the channel. We should have this, that we're not going to live forever. So we shouldn't have these high hopes. You know, I'm putting aside the worldly things, I'm making plans for the future, like the king was planning to make the palaces, like we're planning to make them big homes back home, them big houses here, them cars, putting them to aside. Our ibadat, our worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, our fard that is upon us, fulfilling them, putting everything to one side. With them we shouldn't have high hopes. That should be that we're going to perform ASAP right now, as soon as possible. Again, we make the mistake when it comes to our salah. We delay it. I'll read Zuhr a little bit later, a little bit later, a little bit later, a little bit later. And then you run the risk of missing that salah. You know, if you are amongst those fortunate people that perform salah at the first opportune moment, then you realize how peaceful you feel. I've had it many times that if I'm traveling and I come home late and I've not been able to read Salatul Isha with Jamaat and I get home, then I get lazy. I'm sitting there, you know, I'll read it a little bit later. I'll read it a little bit later. And my mind is telling me that I cannot go to sleep until I've read it. But then my mind is saying that, oh, just 5 minutes. I'll read it in 5 minutes. I'll read it in 5 minutes. And that's wrong. To have that mindset is wrong. We should read it at the first opportunity in the moment. Don't delay it. Because if we delay it, then these shaitanic whispers come to us. You could get home and you're not yet read your Salatul Isha. You're sitting there. You know, I can't go to sleep because I've got to read my Salatul Isha. But you haven't got the energy to go up. So you're sitting in your sofa. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. And you've gone to sleep. You've gone to sleep and you wake up and you've missed Isha. But worse still, what happens if you go to sleep permanently? And you had the opportunity to perform that Salatul Isha and you didn't. On the Day of Judgment, you'll be said to you that you had your last Salah, could have been Salatul Isha, you could have prayed that, but you didn't. You chose sleep over that Salah. Same for our Fajr. I don't want to get out of bed, it's cold, I'm tired, I've had a hard day, I've got a hard day ahead of me. I'm going to read Fajr, then when I get back in bed, I can only sleep for an hour. So I'll miss it today. Again, this mindset we need to change. Change before it's too late. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Time is flying. I'm realizing maybe I'm talking too much today. Let's go to the hadith of the day, inshallah. When we come back, we'll continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he states, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره. Whosoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the final day, then let him honor his neighbor. Honoring neighbors, be kind to them. Yes, protect their privacy. Don't backbite. Don't spread words, falsehood about them. Maybe sharing their secrets, whatever it may be happening within their home. Of course, do not harm them. It's not just that though. It's helping them if they need any help. Sharing your food with them. Being a source of peace and happiness. Rather than a thorn in their side. Allahu Akbar. Islam teaches us that, yes, we must pray our salah. We must honor all of the laws of Islam. And part of those is taking care of your neighborhood, which of course begins with your very own neighbors. We must honor our neighbors. When was the last time you visited them? When was the last time you have shared a kind word with them? When was the last time you were there to comfort them? When was the last time you were there to even ask them, offer them some sort of help? We should always be there for our neighbors.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Viewers of my channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program broadcast live here from the Bradford Studios in the UK. Today we're talking about the harms of having high hopes and how high hopes can cause a destruction to us. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that high hopes are an obstacle in the path of righteousness and obedience. Furthermore, high hopes become the cause of every mischief and harm. And that may sound like a very strong statement, but if you think about it, that, you know, they are the cause, that you think that, you know, I don't have to repent now, I don't have to do this now, I don't have to do that now, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. Having these high hopes, and as a result of that, you start committing all sorts of sins. Due to a person having high hopes, he can suffer six types of difficulties. And inshallah, we're going to share these six types of difficulties with you. Number one, it is stated in Minhaj al-Abidin that high hopes make a person heedless and lazy. And that's why before performing good deeds, his thoughts enter his mind that I will do it after a while. I still have sufficient time. I will not miss the opportunity of worship. Hence, due to laziness, a person wastes the opportunity of performing good deeds. Like I said earlier on, I'll do it later. I'll read my Zohar later. I'll read Asr later. And what happens is by leaving it later and later and later, you look at your watch, oh, I've missed Zohar. I've missed Asr. How did that happen? That's not the first time that you've looked at your watch. You probably looked at your watch between Zohar and Asr 10 times. Oh, I've got an hour and a half. Yeah, it's okay. I've got an hour. Yeah, I've got an hour. And what happens is, as a result of that, you miss that salah. And you become lazy. So this laziness, because of high hopes that I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. And that is missing it. But we also have the high hope that, you know, I'll read it, I'll miss it, and I'll make up for it later. You know, you need to realize that just because you, if you miss one salah on purpose, Allahu Akbar, your name will be written on one of the doors of the hellfire. If you miss a salah on purpose. When we've heard many narrations before, many people have told us, the imams will tell us, the scholars will tell us, Madri Shalom will tell us day in, day out, that if you miss a salah, this is the destruction, this is the punishment. But we're not bothered. Why? We'll make it all later. Why? We'll do it later. Why? We'll sort it out later. And this later, later, later causes this problem. We'll perform the Hajj later. I remember, I think I mentioned this before, that when I was blessed with the opportunity to go on the Hajj, and you have these bands, they give you these bands, and the color of the band depicts which country you've come from. And I think ours were red, and I think those from the Parkins subcontinent, they were yellow. And I noticed very early on, there was a difference in how the people that were wearing red bands and the people that were wearing yellow bands, the way that they were living. The people that were wearing yellow bands, i.e. the people that had come from the Parkin subcontinent, the majority of them, they did not waste a minute of time whilst they were on the Hajj. Because for them, they knew that this was a once in a lifetime opportunity. They saved up all their lives. You could see them, some of them were, you know, retired, some of them were quite old. They saved up a lot of money for them. It's a huge amount of money. Even though the Hajj nowadays, if it's in the UK, it's maybe £5,000, £6,000. But that £5,000, if you think that the average person earns £25,000, then it's a fifth, 20% of his annual salary. Whereas that money for Hajj for them people is probably a year, maybe 2 years salary. And so when they went on that Hajj, for them, it was a once in a lifetime. And so they did as much ibadat as possible. They didn't miss any opportunity to perform good deeds. You know, if they realized that there was a kafla going to the plains of Badr, if they realized there was going to Uhud, if they realized that they were going to this masjid, to that masjid, to this cave, to that place, they would go. Whereas you saw in those people that were in the red bands, next time, we'll do it next time. We'll come next year. You know, I'm tired now. You know what? We'll be coming again next year, won't we? Yeah? Next year we'll come again. I think we'll come again next year. We'll do it then. The second difficulty. Due to high hopes, a person falls prey to evil practices. Sayyidina Dawood A'i, rahmatullah ta'ala, has truthfully said that the person who has a fear of Allah's warning considers distance as something near, and the person who suffers from high hopes becomes a victim of evil practices. Due to, again, having high hopes that I've got nothing to worry about. I'll sort it out later. Third difficulty. Due to high hopes, it becomes difficult for a person to perform good deeds. Sayyidina Yahya bin Muaz Razi, rahmatullah ta'ala, said, hopes of the world restrict a man from every good deed. Greed restricts a man from every truth. Patience leads to goodness, and satisfying the desires attract him to every harm and evil. Allahu Akbar. Hopes for the world, viewers of the channel, restrict a man from every good deed. How true is that? That hopes for the world restrict a man from every good deed. The fourth difficulty. Due to high hopes, a person becomes habitual of delaying in making repentance. That's why these thoughts enter the mind. I will repent now. I still have sufficient time. I am still young. I'm now very young. I have the power, authority to repent all the time. I'll do it whenever I want. I'll repent later. I'll sort it out later. I'm young now. I'm strong now. Allahu Akbar. You know, we mentioned earlier on about the Pious Deeds book that Amir al-Sunnati said to us, that to read 3 verses of the Quran on a daily basis. That Pious Deeds booklet, in its sense, if you read it on a daily basis, and I would advise you all, you know, there's an app that you can get, the Pious Deeds app. You can download the booklet. I would advise you all to get that. And whether you fill it in or you don't fill it in, read it on a daily basis. 12 minutes, maximum 12 minutes. But that makes you reflect on what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. What you should have done, what you shouldn't have done. And one of them in there is that, you know, today did you recite, read 2 rakat Salatul Tawbah? Did you repent from your sins? A constant reminder from your sins. And I think one of the pious deeds that as soon as you performed a bad deed, did you repent straight away? You need to repent straight away. Don't wait. Don't think, oh, there's people here, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. And yet, even with that, every day, 2 rakat Salatul Tawbah, how many of us do that? Because we just don't think that we're committing the sins. And then even when we do, you know, even when we do sit on the prayer mat and do our prayers and raise our hands, we know we're doing it insignificantly. You know, Ya Allah, please forgive my sins, Ya Allah. And we're looking at our phones, we're looking at something else. The Imam starts doing a heartfelt dua. You go into the Ijtima' of Dar Islami, the Mubalik there is crying in the dua, but you're looking at him and say, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Oh, he's here as well, is he? Well, I'll see him afterwards. Ameen. And we're not even paying attention to the dua, you know. So our du'as, how can our du'as be not accepted if they're not heartfelt du'as, if we're not sincerely repenting in the court of Allah? And that's something that we need to be wary of. The fifth difficulty, due to high hopes, the heart of a person becomes hard, reducing the passion for good deeds. It increases sins and greed. A person becomes habitual of worldly luxuries and pleasures, and his heart becomes heedless of pondering over the hereafter. Like the king, you know, you become engrossed in this dunya. You start buying all these things in the dunya. You forget everything. You forget reading your namaz. You forget fasting during the month of Ramadan. You forget going performing the hajj. You forget performing all these. You start committing all sorts of sins because I don't want any of that. I ain't got time for salah. I ain't got time for fasting. I ain't time for hajj. I need this. You know, I need all these things around me. I need to surround myself with these worldly luxuries, with these nice sofas, this nice car, this nice house. You know, I need this, I need this. And so this is what happens. You surround yourself with these worldly luxuries that you forget. And again, you know, we have this, you know, there's a saying in English, keeping up with the Joneses. And what that basically means is because somebody else, you know, somebody else has a seven-seater car. I want a seven-seater car, you know. Somebody else has a new sofa. We need to get a new sofa. Somebody else has got their new kitchen. We need to get our kitchen done. Someone else has a new bedroom. I need to get a bedroom. Someone else is buying plots of wood. I need to buy plots of wood. Someone else is building. I need to build that. And so this keeping up with the Joneses that they say is keeping up with everybody else. You don't need to. Who says you have to keep up with them? Why do we have to? Why are we not happy with our older car? Why are we not happy with a smaller house? Why are we not happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed us? Why are we constantly running after more? You know, people want, a bigger house. Why do you want a bigger house? Oh, just in case we get guests. What do you mean, just in case we get guests? You need a four bedroom just in case we get guests. Well, if you get guests that can sleep on the sofa, you can put them in a hotel. Are you going to put yourself in burden for the next 25 years just in case you get guests? I need a seven-seater. Why do you need a seven-seater? You've only got two kids. Just in case. So this just in case, which may never happen, this just in case factor as well, is something that, you know, develop inside ourselves that might never happen yet. We prepare for that. Just in case. Just in case the angel of death comes to you earlier. What about that? Just in case you don't perform the hajj before you die. What about that? What about that case? Just in case you don't get the opportunity to read your salah today, what about that case? What happens if you don't get the opportunity to pay off your zakat? What about that case? What about the case of you missing your Ramadan and your fast and making up for them? What about that case? What about missing them salahs and making up for them? What about that case? What about committing all those sins, backbiting, stealing, swearing, breaking promises, watching films and dramas, listening to music? All these other sins that I can mention, what about them cases? Are you not worried about them? Them things that you've actually done? Them guests may never come. You may never have extra people that need to sit in your heart. But these are the things that have happened. You've not performed that hajj, you've not performed that salah, you've committed them sins. What about them cases? Instead, we prefer for all those just in case. That maybe that might happen. Maybe I might need it. I need this house back home. I might decide to retire there. So if I decide to retire there, I need a nice home. I need a nice house back home. Okay, I'm not saying it's haram to have that house. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is our life should not revolve around that. And one thing I want to make clear to people here is that, you know, having plans for the dunya, having the desire for a house, having the desire for a car, having the desire for all these worldly things is not haram. But if these things, these desires start to overcome or overpower your true purpose in life, start to put a cover on that and push that away, push that to one side, then that is where it becomes a problem. If you have the right balance in life, you know, congratulations to that person who reads his salah five times a day with Jamaat, he fasts during the month of Ramadan, he performs the hajj that is farz upon him. He pays, he spends in the way of Allah, he travels in the way of Allah, and Allah gives him a massive 12-bedroom detached house. May Allah give him more. May Allah give him more. But if that person, as a result of having these high hopes, he doesn't read his salah, doesn't do these things, and all that then fall by the side. I've met many taxi drivers. When you invite them to the masjid, you invite them to the weekly gathering, they say, oh brother, I can't come. Why can't you come? Too busy paying off my mortgage. I need to work these hours, I need to work that hours. I ain't got time. What do you mean you haven't got time? Why did you burden yourself up with that so much? Why have you burdened yourself up with such a big house? And again, sorry to say, in some of the cases, it's our sisters. Our sisters put pressure on the whole, we need a bigger house, we need a bigger car, we need a 7-seater, we need these sort of things. So this pressure that we have, and we've heard before that on the Day of Judgment, you know, a person here will be disgraced. A person will be disgraced because what happens as a result of the pressure, family pressure, he's now committed sins to earn that money to keep his family happy so that they can have them things that he wants. He's been committing sins. And you may think, oh, committing sins are, he's going to making illegal money. He's dealing in drugs. He's dealing in stolen goods. No, it's not just that. The fact that he's earning money and not reading his salah, then that as well. The fact that he's earning money, he's not fasting during the month of Ramadan, that as well. The fact that he's earning money, not paying the zakah, that as well. And on the Day of Judgment, his good deeds will be taken from him and given to his family. Them same family that you run around day and night for. Them same people that you work 12 hours a day for. Your good deeds will now be taken, given to them. And if you run out of good deeds, then you have the sins on your table as well. So this is, you know, we need to get the right balance in life. And the final difficulty, high hopes make a person heedless of death. It's been narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took three pieces of wood. One he planted in front of himself, the second next to it, whereas the third one at a little distance. Then he said to his blessed companions, "Do you know what this is?" They humbly said, "Allah and His beloved Rasul know best." It was then said, "One piece of wood represents a human. The second one is death, whereas the distant one is hope. A human moves his hand towards hope, but instead of hope, death pulls him towards it." Allahu Akbar. Viewers of my channel, today please just reflect on your life. Reflect on your life goals. What do you want to achieve in this world? We've mentioned before bucket list. We've mentioned before life goals. What are your life goals? And I'm not saying, again, I keep on stressing this, it's not haram to have them life goals of a nice house, nice car, all these sort of things. But at the same time, your ultimate number one life goal needs to be to attain the pleasure of my Rabb, to attain the closeness of my Rabb, to attain the repentance from all the sins that I've committed, to achieve good afterlife. That should be your number one plan. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we live our lives in such a way that we are amongst those that Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with us. And we do not live our lives in such a way that the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jalla falls upon us. Viewers of my channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. Until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.